like a show of hands, those of you who want to hear that song again rather than me preaching. I kind of knew the vote would go that way. What a great day it is, and what wonderful music, and just everything about today is just wonderful. What Darren and I have tried to do over the season of Lent is try to maybe paint a picture of the person and work of Jesus Christ to help us to understand him a little bit better and maybe to see what he means to us in this day and age. And we draw that series to conclusion today because Easter is that ultimate moment of the revelation of who Jesus Christ is and what he means for each and every one of us. And so I'd like to share with you two passages of Scripture, both from the Gospel according to John. The first in the 20th chapter, the traditional word that we hear on Easter Day, but it bears hearing again and again and again and again. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary of Magdala went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and he believed, though they still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. And in the 21st chapter of the Gospel according to John, an incident that takes place not long after the resurrection. This is our resurrected Lord. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" And Peter said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger and you dressed yourself and went where you wanted, but when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." May the Lord bless these portions from his holy word. You know, there is an old story told about a man who was greeted by his preacher on Easter morning, and the preacher said to him, "Why don't I see you more often in church?" And the man said, "Well, Reverend, to tell you the truth, it's not worth my effort." He says, "Every time I come, you're either talking about Jesus being born or Jesus being resurrected." Well, I thought it was funny. But I thought about that story as I was preparing for our worship service today, because that is one of the issues with Easter morning, is that in some of our hearts and in some of our minds, there is a kind of a dull sameness to it. We've heard the story over and over and over again, and maybe we stop hearing it after a period of time. We've heard the story that Jesus is alive. He has been raised from the dead. And it becomes just something that we do one Sunday a year when we recall that and we remember that. In some ways, that's probably not a bad thing. In some ways, it's probably a good thing because we need to be reminded, and it's good for us to come together to rehear the story of Jesus' resurrection, to be reminded of the truth of that good news and how it impacts each of our lives. But the danger is that it becomes something that we do just out of a kind of a rote sort of discipline. Same way that you get up in the morning and you make your cup of coffee and you read your paper and you go to work and you have this rote way of doing things, and we don't want that to happen. We don't want Easter to become something that we do, okay, this is my day out of the year when I go and I'm reminded, and it's like getting my card punched, you know, okay. Resurrection happened, we're going to live forever, everything is beautiful and good, and you go on with life, and it doesn't really impact, it doesn't really change you. Don't want that to happen. Because what happened on that first Easter is so crucial and so important, and is for us the ultimate revelation. The ultimate revelation of who Jesus is and what He means to us. So that's why today I wanted to take it a step further. I wanted to share with all of you the story that John records for us of Jesus' resurrection. But I wanted to kind of take it a couple steps further and tell you the story of what happened after the resurrection. The story of Jesus interacting with Peter. Because that is a tremendous revelation of what the resurrection is all about. Now you got to think about the situation Jesus found himself in. Here he is, resurrected Lord, and here he is back with his disciples again. And you know, if you're going to do a scorecard kind of thing for the disciples, at this point in their lives, the mark that they would get is an F for failure. And out of that whole bunch of them, Peter would be the one who failed the worst come the crucifixion. Remember? It was Peter who, when he was confronted by those who were crucifying Jesus, and they said, you know, you've got that same accent that Jesus had. You must know him. And no, don't know the man. Never heard of him. I don't know who you're talking about. Three times Peter denied Jesus when Jesus needed him the most. Now, as I was preparing this sermon, I was thinking to myself, you know, how would I react in that same situation? And I thought, you know, all of us, have had somebody who's failed us at some point in time or another. All of us have had somebody who really let us down when we needed them. And if I were Jesus and I was resurrected after everything that I had gone through and I saw Peter, my first response would not be graciousness and kindness. Now, would it? Would it be for any of you? My first response was, why did you do that? And, you know, how can I, you know, I'll never be able to trust you again. And, you know, I mean, I'd lay on a guilt trip so thick that he'd never be able to move again. But Jesus' response to him is not of anger, is not of disappointment, but is of love. And grace. Now, did you notice that when Jesus is talking with Peter, he doesn't use the nickname? You know, because remember, Peter's his nickname. His real name is Simon. And he even gets to the point where he is revealing that he is close to Peter because he calls him by his formal name. You know, when you have those kinds of moments when they use your formal name, you know they're serious. You know they're serious. Simon, son of John. Simon Barjona. Do you love me? Then feed my sheep. Jesus is reinstating Simon Peter. He's redeeming him, bringing him back into the fold. Peter who had blown it. Peter who had denied Jesus. Peter is redeemed. He's redeemed in that moment. Three times the question is asked to undo three times that Peter denied him. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. But that's the other part that we need to always remember, because we have that temptation to come to Easter and get out of it what we want out of it. We want to come to the Easter service to be reminded that there's more to life than this life. We come to Easter service sometimes just to kind of tuck away that knowledge in the back of our hearts that there's a life yet to come that has been opened for us. And that's a good thing. That's wonderful. We need to know that. We need to remember that. But we need to know and recognize that eternal life begins today. That the resurrection of Jesus Christ gives us the chance for new beginnings. For Simon Peter was not only forgiven, but he was given a charge, he was given a challenge to take that forgiveness, to take that grace, that love that was so freely given to him, and do something with it. Minister to others. Share that love with others. Feed my sheep. Take care of the flock. It is a call that each of us are given. For on this Resurrection Sunday, on this day when we recall that Jesus is alive, we get to begin again. We get to start fresh and new, letting go of all those things that serve as barriers. All the things that we might have done that we really wished we had not. All the things that we wish we had done but never quite got done. Let all of that go. Put all of that to the side and begin anew. As Jesus comes to each of us and asks us the question, do you love me? Do you love me? Then feed my sheep. Then follow me. Live your life as I live mine. Easter means eternal life begins here, begins now, for each of us. Amen. Would you pray with us? Almighty and ever-loving God, how could we ever even think of repaying you for the grace of your love, the grace of your forgiveness, for the grace of your presence in our lives? For we have seen in the person and work of Jesus Christ the depth and the breadth and the height of your love toward each and every one of us. That you have sought us out, and you have found us. You have called us to walk beside you, to do your will with our lives. We ask, O Lord, that we would be able to answer honestly and openly, that yes, Lord, you know that I love you. and that we would be able to follow you and to feed your sheep. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.